Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 35, thus adopting the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 35 Finance. Recommend that the members vote yes.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 35? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the room. Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, one nay.
So with a vote of 38 yeas and one nay, the House has concurred in Senate changes and Senate committee substitute for House Bill 35 Finance. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that roll call vote on a passage of Senate committee substitute for House Bill 35 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
And Mr. Speaker, there's a title change that came across with this that should be on the members, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate concurrent resolution 10 be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection?
Mr. Speaker, I move the title amendment the resolution number 10. House Senate concurrent resolution number 10.
Without objection? The House has adopted Senate concurrent resolution number 10. Majority Leader.
One more. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members go back. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a vote on that?
Do we need to, or is that objection? Okay. Let me see that back one time. Sorry.
I thought that's why I said I move instead of asking unanimous consent. Let's take a brief at ease while we figure this one out.
House, come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm sorry. I thought that was attached to the member, so it's been passed down, and it does require a vote.
Okay. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt Senate concurrent resolution number 10, which is a title amendment, suspending the rules for a change in the title? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, zero nays.
So with a vote of 37 yeas and zero nays, the House has adopted Senate concurrent resolution number 10. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, just a point first, if I may. I will be going into the limbo file often, and I was just reminded that I should be contacting the members, and I'll do my dead-level best to let members know when they have a bill up. I will only request some help on that. With that, I would move and ask unanimous consent that members go back into limbo file that we may consider the committee substitute for House Bill 75 Finance, and the member from District 7 can speak to the changes.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 75 makes a change that directs the, I'll be there in just a moment, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 75 expresses the legislature's desire to protect hunting, fishing, and trapping as an integral part of Alaska's cultural heritage. And when we sent it over to the Senate, they proposed two changes with which I concur and urge the body to support. The first change is on page 2, lines 5 through 7 of the bill. The existing statutory language pertaining to powers and duties of the Commissioner of Fish and Game relating to enforcement of all federal laws and regulations, those provisions were removed and the remaining sections of the statute were appropriately renumbered. And in the second change, on page 7, lines 25 to 31, and page 8, lines 1 through 5, conforming amendments were made to the existing sections of the statute, which cross-reference the section of the statute amended in section 2 of this bill. I would ask the body to concur.
Mr. Minority Leader?
I have a question. Usually, there's all kinds of requirements with law enforcement that they help each other, and sometimes federal funding is tied to those requirements in state statute, and I just wonder if the sponsor has any answers to the impact that removal of this section on page 2 would have on federal funding to assist Alaska's fish and game officers.
President Croft?
And while we're just setting up on that issue, I mean, the general thrust of the bill that we have, that the Commissioner of Fish and Game should have a duty to promote and preserve fishing, hunting, and trapping, I have no objection to. Well, one or two of my constituents do. But the new bill adds this other idea. It deletes from the powers of the Commissioner to assist the United States Fish and Wildlife Service in the enforcement of federal laws and regulations pertaining to fish and game. There's some areas of the state simply surrounded by federal lands, and those lands are under that jurisdiction, and it seems to me, at least, to create a lot of potential problems. In addition, the sheet which was provided, the summary, says that HB 75 removes the obligation to assist. While this change does not prevent the commissioner from doing so, the duty is no longer prescriptive. That is, I guess, you know, you shall do, and now you can. But I'm not sure from the language that fits the summary. The old language said the commissioner has, but not by way of limitation, the following powers and duties. So you have the power to assist the United States. When you take that away, it wasn't a shall, must. And I could see where people would want to make it a may, you can or you can't. But by taking it away as a power, I guess I don't know standing here what that does. It seems to me that gets farther than may. If they want to, I'm not sure. They certainly no longer have this enumerated power, and they may not have this power at all to assist in those areas where it is federal land and the state doesn't have the jurisdiction. If you're going to be enforcing any fish and game laws at all or helping at all, it's going to be the federal law that you're going to be applying. So I guess my question is, by taking it out as a power, have we taken it out as a power?
Representative Kelly?
Mr. Speaker, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. House, come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I think the member from District 8 might have some comment on this.
District 8? Representative Croft?
From neither. From Spinard here. But I think I appreciate the time to consult with the sponsor of the bill. I think the summary is accurate, and wasn't questioning his honesty, just trying to figure out how it related to that. Because the language says the commissioner has, but not by way of limitation, the following powers and duties. So, in effect, it would be duty to assist the United States Fish and Wildlife. If you take it out, because it says not by limitation, they still could. They wouldn't have it as a duty of theirs. So I think it accomplishes what the sponsor says. Now, individual members can decide whether they like that result, but I think the summary is accurate about what it does legally.
You ready for the question? Question is, Representative Guerra.
Very brief, Mr. Speaker. I looked at it, too, and I still have the concern if it says right now that you have the powers, and now you take out that you don't have the powers, unless the power is established somewhere else, I don't know that you have them. And so I think you could set up a fish trap on a stream in an area like this, and all of a sudden fish traps are effectively legal because the troopers can't stop you from doing it, and they're the only people in the area that are able to do it. If there's some provision in the law somewhere else that gives the commissioner those powers, we're okay. But if there's not, I worry we're not okay.
Gavsner.
The Rural Justice Commission, many of us in rural Alaska have asked our law enforcement to work more collaboratively together. And I think this is moving away from that. And especially for regions like mine that are surrounded with federal land and rely heavily on migratory birds, which Department of Fish and Game does not have a lot of say-so over or regulations or control or data. We really need our ADF&G people to work with Fish and Wildlife. So I stand opposed to the changes that have been made.
Representative Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, I suggest that we, Mr. Speaker, I suggest that we send it back to the limbo file. Give me a little bit of time to check with legal, because we do have the situation where the representative from Bethel is correct that the power has to be there. I agree. And we have the situation where we've got some arm wrestling over navigable waters, and who owns the fish and game? Is it the people of Alaska in common or somehow the Fed? And so I will take it back and try to find out if this messes with the power of the commissioner and ask them that it be brought back, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, without objection, I'll send the HB 75 back into the limbo file. Mr. Majority Leader.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Keeps my file nice and big. Mr. Speaker, with that, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file again, that we may consider the committee substitute, Senate committee substitute for House Bill 184, a little bill talking about an act relating to firearms, and the member from, the co-chairman of finance from...
Representative Chanel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The other body's Judiciary Committee clarified the rights of the state to regulate firearm law. While it looks three or four pages long now, most of the changes were to clarify what guidelines municipalities would have to enact or enforce ordinance. Also gives guidelines on restrictions of discharging of firearms. Also gives the guidelines where firearms may be sold and also where firearms may be possessed. And it also defines restricted areas. I concur with their changes. The biggest sticking point on their rewrite was dealing with employers' parking lots in private restricted areas. And while there was some concern from a lot of industry people and a lot of other organizations dealing with that issue, Mr. Speaker, we added another amendment on the other body side, and it seems to have taken care of most of the problems that anyone had expressed to us. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would ask the body to concur with the Senate changes. Thank you.
Other debate? Ready for the question?
Okay. Question about a term, because I'm trying to find it in the bill here. An employer or its agent, what does that relate to?
President Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe what it relates to is areas, buildings that currently have restrictions in place. And the agent, I wouldn't know exactly who that person would be, but I would assume it would be an agent for the corporation that makes the decisions related to either the safety of the people in that building or with their safety issues, and that may be the president. I'm not sure who they would say their agent is, but that would be, I guess, the corporation's right to say who that agent was.
I'm not sure whether, the municipality is, for example, an employer, and I'm not sure I understand what the intent is of this change that took place in the other body, but I'm not sure whether the terms they've used adequately get at what they're trying to do. So it just seems a little bit problematic leaving it the way it is, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? You ready for the question? Mr. Majority Leader?
We need to make the motion, the concurrence motion.
Okay.
That was to get it out of the
file.
Now, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the that the House concur with the Senate amendments to Senate for the CS for House Bill Number 184, Judiciary Amended Senate, thus adopting the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 184, Judiciary Senate Amended, and that recommend that the members vote yes.
Question is: shall the House concur in the changes Senate changes and Senate committee substitute for House Bill 184 Judiciary, which was amended in the Senate. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Now, Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 2 nays.
So the vote of 38 yeas and 2 nays, the House has concurred in the Senate changes. The Senate may substitute for House Bill 184 Judiciary. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 272, please.
Reconsideration has been asked for on House Bill 272. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 272, Finance Amended, entitled An Act Relating to Card Rooms and Card Operations and Permitting Issuance of a License to Own a Card Room and Conduct Card Games in a Municipality of the State if the municipality has adopted an ordinance ratified by a majority of the municipal voters voting on the question authorizing card rooms and card games in that municipality.
You ready for the question? Representative Salmon.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I move that we return to a second reading for the specific purpose of rescinding our actions in failing to adopt Amendment Number 5.
There's an objection? No objection. No objection. Okay, we're back in second reading for the purposes of rescinding our action in adopting Amendment Number 5. Is that right? Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, if I could have an explanation of the amendment number 5.
Representative Salmon.
Yes, I have a copy. I could... you want me to speak to the amendment, or you want me to move the amendment?
There's no... You already... moved, you're going to need to move to rescind. But before you do that, let's take a brief at ease.
Thank you.
Vote yes and get it over with. Let's go. House, come back to order. Representative Salmon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment...
Move to rescind. Move to rescind.
I move to rescind.
Okay, the motion is to rescind our action in failing to adopt former amendment number 5. Now is there a debate on that motion? You ready for the question? The question is, shall the House rescind from its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 5. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
22 yeas, 18 nays.
So with a vote of 22 yeas and 18 nays, the House has rescinded its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 5, bringing Amendment Number 5 back before the body. Representative Salmon.
Mr. Speaker, I believe that, I move Amendment Number 5.
There's an objection. Representative Salmon.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I believe the cities with less than 30,000 should be allowed to have card rooms. This amendment allows the city of less than 30,000 to have one card room. It also allows smaller towns like Bethel, Kotzebue, Nome to have at least a card room in their cities. And I don't think we should be discriminating against smaller towns with on the basis of population. it seems like we're put in a different class. I think the people should have the opportunity to do business in these smaller towns. There's a lot of people in the southeast that could benefit from this. So with that, I urge your yes vote on amendment number 5.
Other debate? Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. It seems to me that regardless of how one feels about the bill in general, that there's no reason why we should be passing legislation that give basically Anchorage and Fairbanks an option of doing something and preclude the rest of the state from doing it also. So I would urge a yes vote on this amendment.
Other debate on the bill? Representative Cott?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
On the amendment, I'm sorry.
On the amendment, after giving this some careful consideration, talking with the sponsor, me, I agree with the previous speaker. I think there's enough restrictions in the bill that will ensure that my intention is going to be met. So I agree with the maker of the amendment that it probably should go out to the vote of those communities, and we shouldn't restrict those communities that have less than 30,000 from that opportunity. So I'm going to be supporting the amendment today.
Other debate? You ready for the question? Representative Crawford? Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I believe that this just really proves my point, that no matter what we do here today, this is not going to end the ever-expanding of gambling. It's a profitable business for a few people, and they're going to keep on trying to expand it and continue that process. I'm opposed to the expansion of gambling, but I'm not opposed. I mean, I don't want to discriminate against communities. If Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau have that, if Kotzebue wants it, then Kotzebue should have it. I'm just opposed to the whole thing.
Other debate? Representative Rookberg.
Mr. Speaker, I things are getting curiouser and curiouser. I was just kind of, I'm really kind of curious about what the conversation that the sponsor had with himself. I'd like to know about that.
All right, you ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 5 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
28 yeas, 12 nays.
So, with a vote of 28 yeas and 12 nays, amendment number 5 has passed the House. It brings us back into third reading under reconsideration. Are you ready for the question? Representative Lynn.
Mr. Speaker, I got a few words to say on this, if I may. It's, as we know, it's near the end of the season. We're supposed to get out of here on Tuesday, I hope, I think. And so all of us are very, very busy down here doing what we need to be doing. We're trying to fund education. We're trying to do something with this workers' comp mess. We're all engaged in PERS and STIRS, want to do something that's good about that. And did I forget that we're also trying to get a budget out, I think. But the end of the season, so here comes another hurry-hurry piece of legislation. Last year was the hurry-hurry bill on casinos. This year it's a hurry-hurry bill on card rooms. I guess it's springtime, Mr. Speaker. The leaves are coming out, the squirrels are running around, and gambling bills are beginning to fly. It's like Energizer bunnies are getting uncontrollable urges to pass gambling bills when the session's about to end. Apparently, the end of the session is a very good time to push gambling bills so they can fly under the public radar. Gambling bills that haven't since January to go through the public process, go through committees, and go through having to hear testimony from a riled up public who may want to speak about this, a pesky public.
Section 121, Mason's breaches order of the House. No one is to speak impertinently or besides the questions purposely or tediously. I believe the comments made are somewhat impertinent about our process.
Mr. Speaker, I was not referring to the bill.
Stay to the issue, please.
May I continue?
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, I was speaking generically. We're told that illegal card rooms are popular. So I've got the question, why not legalize everything that's popular? You know, why not? We're told that card rooms are already in operation. That's fine. So why not legalize everything that's in operation and make money on it? Prostitution's in operation. Why not make money on that? All kinds of things. Crack drug sales are in operation. Why not legalize that? Because it's popular. It's going on already. So you shouldn't just try to legalize something just because it's popular. And just because they say you can make a buck at the expense of the public. We're told that legalized card rooms are limited population of 30,000. Well, we just fixed that, and I'm glad we did, that we shouldn't be discriminating. We should be able to have a card room by this logic, but every place that has a moose in Alaska. We're told that card rooms would create jobs. Well, so do houses of ill repute create jobs. And again, so do crack houses. Those are the kind of jobs that we want and we need in the state of Alaska. I certainly hope not. Do we want to have workforce development based on a house of cards? Should our public schools stop teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic? Do we teach our kids how to operate card rooms? Of course not. That's silly, but that just makes a point on this whole bill. I want to know if there's anybody in this district who really wants to go back to our district, whenever we go back to our district, and get involved in a campaign. I put in our campaign flyer, golly gee, we didn't do something we should have been doing, but we did in fact legalize card rooms. What a wonderful job we did down here. Aren't you glad that you elected us? If I had more time to speak, I'd tell you how I really feel about this bill, but I think you get the point. This is a bad bill, and just say no.
Other debate, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. I'm sure that you all can tell me what my position is on this bill. I just want to state just a couple of things. We discussed in session last week the fact that there is a question about the definition of banked cards. There is a question about the term of shill that is used. And the problem that brings to surface is if it's a type 3 card game, the state does have responsibilities in regulating. We also have talked, you know, in the past few days, we've talked about different situations. A few folks have brought up the facts as they've talked about health insurance, about how they thought they were invincible until something happened, and all of a sudden they realized, you know what, someday I'm going to need my health care, or my body just isn't going to hold up like it has been all these years. You know, a funny thing happened to me when I became a parent, and that was all of a sudden I put the interests of these very little people before my interests and my needs and my pleasures and even some of the, basic needs. What was important for their lives and for the people around them and the things that affected them became my number one priority. And anyone in this room, whether it's as a parent, as a caregiver for your own parent, as a helper of a neighbor or someone that's unable to do things for themselves, you know what I'm talking about when you put someone else before you. And, you know, I really don't want the ills that can potentially come from this type of industry to come into our state and affect not only our generation, but the younger generations to come. It very seriously concerns me. And it's been stated before, there is money to be made in this business, and I'm never going to question that or state that that's, you know, not a fact. But I truly believe that it's a very serious policy decision that we're making by legalizing this. And in my heart, I believe that if we do legalize this, that those of us that are here in 4 or 6 or 8 years are going to be back revisiting this issue. But it's not going to be at this level. It's going to be at the level of how can we fund centers for people to come and learn to deal with a different type of addiction than we already have centers set up for now. And our social service agencies are going to be adding a different type of counseling to families and people that come in need. I wish it wasn't so, but I believe if we pass this today and move forward with this, that that it's something that we'll be planning for in the future, and I would urge a no vote against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Elkin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the representative from District 6 for removing the sign from the bus that says that if you live in a rural community or a small community, you have to ride in the back of the bus. And so I'm real tickled that we've removed that now, because now I can ride that bus to to go to play poker if I so choose. Vote yes.
Ready for the question? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, I'll yield, and then I'll go after.
Any other debate? Senator Crawford?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll take any turn I get. Mr. Speaker, I'm under no delusions here that this will be the last vote that we ever take on gambling. Win or lose, I know that's coming back. There's so much money in this industry that they'll continue to bring this back year after year, even if we win right here. But I hope that the people here in this room look deep inside themselves and decide whether this is a good thing for all of Alaska or not. It's not what I want to have as part of my legacy to pass down to my children and grandchildren and others. I passed out a handout that I hope that you look through. It gives you an idea of what happened in Washington State. It started out where privately owned card rooms came first. They were small, no more than 5 tables. They escalated. Then tribal gaming followed. And then the article just gives you the idea of how it went from that point forward. One side would get a little more, so the other side, rather than go out of business, demanded that they get parity. And if you look on the second page, down to the second to last paragraph, it says, under federal law, tribes have the right to offer any form of gambling permitted by state law. Well, I wouldn't want to discriminate against tribes. If we're going to have gambling, then certainly tribes should have it as well. I think it's the wrong way to go for Alaska to head down this road. Now, in the Anchorage Daily News this morning, the editorial page, there's a paragraph in here if I could read for a moment.
Objection.
It says, the money for card rooms doesn't come from new industries or income. It comes from somewhere else in the family budget. Dollars devoted to card rooms aren't going for groceries, rent, gas, utilities, health care, or whatever else people really need. It's going to take money away from families, from children, and we'll have all the ills that the other states that have gone down this road have already experienced. Now, as far as taking in money for a state treasury, for every dollar that these other states are taking in to their state treasury, they're paying out about $3 in all the social costs. It's not an industry that we can afford here in this state. And I beg of you, please don't do this. Thank you.
Other debate. Representative Stoltz.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to speak on this, but I have so much admiration for the gentleman that's pushing this. He's one of the scions of the community I was born in. And he's really trying to do something he believes in. He's done a lot of good things in the community, from business to the religious community. I have so much admiration for him. I just disagree with him on this issue. One thing that's been presented throughout, I forget how long it's been going on since we've been talking about this, is it's a panacea for the after-hours clubs. These card rooms aren't going to sell liquor after hours. They're not going to have drugs. They're not going to have prostitutions. I think that need will still be met through an illegitimate fashion. I don't want anybody to think this is going to solve that other problem. But I do respect the gentleman that's pushing this measure, and I just wish I didn't have to oppose him because I have such regard for him.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I guess I've spent my adult life working with my child, with other people's kids, on trying to help to direct the choices that young people make. And those choices are something that we actually work on constantly here in this body. We deal with them, well, somewhat before the choices are made, but usually it's after the choices are made. And the choices that people make in this state, to an alarming degree, to a degree that puts us first in the nation on abuse of alcohol, abuse of lack of control of our impulses, marijuana, other kinds of addictive choices. They're choices that we make. Those choices put us in harm's way. That's why this is right this second illegal, because this is another one of those, and it has to do with money. Not that card games are bad, not that that's a bad choice of something to do, but when it becomes addictive, and when you put money in, it's one of those strange combinations where it becomes something that people have to do because of the big payoff that that comes with it. It's one of those choices when you're dealing with young kids and you're trying to set them straight. You're trying to have them make the right choices that keep them out of harm's way. And the addictions are what puts you in harm's way. It sets you on a path where you pick friends that are drinking. That they're using marijuana. These are friends that when they're having a hard time financing the new clothes, may start selling something that isn't legal. They might start selling their body. Hey, there's big money in that. There is big money in those things. Those are not wise choices. Those are choices that this body deals with all of the time in the vices that add to our budget, that drive it up. This is more of that. This is just one more little step in that direction. And as a parent, as a person who really cares about young people, the jobs that are attached to this, those are jobs that put you right next to, and nice people are involved. I'm not saying that nice people aren't involved, but it's cheap thrills. You see it on TV all the time. That's the kind of society we live in right now. It's instant gratification. Mr. Speaker, I want Alaska to be based on character, the strength of character. Self-esteem comes from having some kind of control. And addictive habits are what drives our all of our corrections institutions, a huge number of our health. I think this is a wrong thing to do. And I think we need to be equal? Yeah, I think we ought to be equal in what we allow and what we don't allow. And I'm voting against this. And I'll vote against it in small towns, in big towns. I think it's bad for our state. It's not healthy. It's not wise.
Other debate. Ready for the question? Oh, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, law enforcement, firemen, corrections have absolutely nothing to do with this bill, thank God. So I'd like to talk about... Now, I'd like to talk about some of the comments... I got your attention. Some of the comments made today... It's interesting, when I was first elected and as a legislative aide, I always thought about the dynamics of politics, and I think one of the most admirable things, traits of a legislator was consistency, and I probably haven't been consistent in my 3 years. I certainly, in my quick speech here, can't talk about consistency of other members. I know that's not allowed. But I'll tell you, members like District 18, our fine friend from 18, she's consistent. I think she objects to this legislation on moral grounds, and she's been consistent in generally in her votes on that, and I respect that. I would urge her to vote no, too, based on her beliefs and other aspects to that end. Seldom would you see someone who's for a bill say vote against it, but I respect her opinion. There are other members, again, I'm not supposed to talk about other members that I think have varying opinions on this, but I want members to be focused on the origination, the mindset of this bill,
It's for entertainment purposes. And that's why I believe the sponsor who will conclude, hopefully, in the debate, will concur with me that we know who we're talking about. Mr. Green, who brought the idea to us, said, hey, I think it would be enjoyable. It seems to be the trend in the nation. In fact, today, personally, I was at the airport dropping someone off, and I went in to the cafe, and they had on TV Texas Hold'em being played. And then someone said, hey, change a channel, and they changed it, and then it went to another, so everybody laughed, another channel with cards being played. And so it seems to be a trend. When folks talk about comparisons to crack houses or suggest that this is a big revenue generator, obviously it's not. Granted, the fees are high, and I think that yields professionalism in the management of these companies. In other words, you're going to get quality applicants, not just the run-of-the-mill person who can't afford to maintain and upkeep this type of establishment. I think the fees are good, but they weren't intended to raise revenue for the state. With respect to the dynamic of regulation, I think this is good. I think right now, full tabs and bingo and some of these other current gambling opportunities that are legal in Alaska, I think there could be more regulation. In fact, should this bill pass, I would like to see, I may even consider sponsoring a gaming commission so that we can have strict enforcement. But ultimately, this bill comes down to freedom of choice. And, you know, I mean, I don't see members who speak against the sponsoring bills to eliminate poll tabs and bingo. That's gambling. We have internet gambling. I mean, and it's in the hundreds of millions in the world, and in the nation, I'm sure, in the tens of millions, and I'm sure in the millions from Alaska. So was the sponsor intending to try to capture that money for the benefit of the state? No. The sponsor ultimately said, I want to bring another form of entertainment to Alaska. I think there'll be sideboards enough through regulation, through security, through higher fees. And this person, we've all complimented him. That's the irony here. He said that, hey, we'll make sure that there's not abuses, there's not the indigent drifting in, as some people assert, wasted on alcohol or drugs. And, hey, let's play some cards so I can lose the money that my wife and kids need to eat. I mean, let's be real. You're watching too much TV. I think that there could be some abuses, of course. There's abuses now with everything we have, like the first speaker today mentioned, with alcohol, with other things, violence. You can't attach those to a card room bill. I think in terms of celebrating kind of the diverse opinions we have in this body, for those morally objected, I don't blame you, and you get a pass for voting against. But in terms of the other folks, I really urge you to consider the merit of this, ranging from, you talked about the bad, the positives, ranging from tourism to revenue generation by the owners who will then give more to charities, future thoughtfulness and analysis. Maybe we could make some charitable attachments to the legislation after we look at it for the next year. I mean, look at the PERS bill. We said, hey, we're going to start with this amendment, and in future years we may tweak it. Well, the same thing here. We can tweak this later. But I think the tribal issue on the legality, we're going to debate that all day long. We had counsel and judiciary, House Judiciary, say there is not a transcension into this, I guess, Class 3. It's Class 2. And so we can debate that, but I stand by what judiciary commentary and other committees' commentary has been, that it doesn't do that. It won't open up gaming in tribes. Finally, we've looked at other things. I was looking at polls from last year in my district, and even today I talked to some assembly folks from Anchorage, and one of them said, boy, I'm really in fear about this bill because just there's an adamant opposition in Anchorage. And I said, where are you getting that from? I can name at least three legislators who've polled their districts, and it's almost 50-50. You know, last year we rejected electronic gaming closely. It was a close, I think, vote. We've, again, some folks made fun of the idea of having casinos. I mean, the originator who went to the sponsor for this legislation is whittling it down as far as he can. And so just in conclusion, I urge you to look at this as an entertainment bill. And if there's problems, I think we can curb those with regulation. And ultimately, so many people would enjoy this. And with the sideboards, I think it would be a good thing for Anchorage. And again, the bottom line is it's all optional. It would be voted on by your municipality. So we're not confirming anything. We're allowing the cities, respectively, and municipalities to do that. So there is a safety mechanism. So I urge your support.
Other debate. You ready for the Representative Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I like a good game of Texas Hold'em or Omaha or seven-card stud. Enjoy it a lot. And I'd like to actually have the opportunity to have that option for entertainment. But the problem I have, and I wasn't going to speak, but the passionate speaker from Anchorage got me to thinking. Crippling problems that we have in Alaska, busted families, alcoholism, drug abuse, suicide, child neglect, child abuse, spousal abuse, teenage pregnancy, those sorts of things. We've got them. We've got plenty of those problems in Anchorage and Fairbanks. And I can tell you there are times, too, in many of the rural places. There's significant problems impacting families. And so even though I like to play these games myself, I can't support the bill because I don't believe after we pass a bill that puts these into these, particularly the rural communities where we've got problems and in our cities, that we'll stand up a couple of years later and say, we've taken a real bite out of this busted family problem or booze problem or suicide problem or child neglect problem or parents that have totally checked out problem. And so if somebody could tell me how we were going to do this and I could still play my game of Texas Hold'em at the local card room and feel okay, I'd vote for this. But I can't get there. And not often the iron worker and I agree on much of anything, but I got to swing in behind him on this one, not because I don't like to play cards, I love it, but because in the balance of the game, I don't see it as helping us out. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I promised I would rise if I had to address a point that came up just to correct it, and I do now. I don't know the answer to the legal analysis that the representative from East Anchorage mentioned about what this does to Class 2 and Class 3 gaming on Indian lands and other lands. I don't know the answer. And I sat in judiciary, and I still don't know the answer. So I don't think it's fair to stand up and say we do know that answer. The other thing that the speaker from East Anchorage started out with saying was that this doesn't address issues of alcoholism or law enforcement. And it does, because the testimony was that these card rooms would be well-run. And I think there are many people who would run a very well-run card room, but some won't. And the point made in committee was law enforcement will take care of that. Well, here's my concern about law enforcement. And I mentioned this the other day. In my city, we don't have enough law enforcement to deal with the child abuse complaints that come in. We don't have enough law enforcement to deal with the sexual abuse complaints that come in. Too many of them sit uninvestigated right now. And if I have a choice between using the limited police staff that I have in my city for things like that or things like this, I want it to be used to solve the serious crimes. I guess I'm one of those people that the member from East Anchorage said doesn't maybe hate this bill or love this bill as much as other people in the room. I'm closer to the middle. But those concerns are big ones for me. And I've still never really been convinced why it's so much more important to be able to play cards for money in a place where the house keeps some of the money. More important to do that than it is to do what we do right now in Anchorage, where you can play cards in public, in your house, as long as somebody's not making money off of it, some third party's not making money off of it. It's a hard bill for me to vote on, but for the reasons I mentioned, and for some that came from the member from the District 18 and the member from the next one, I do have
the debate. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, up until this point, haven't gotten up and said anything, but I cannot sit any longer and listen to something that concerns me very much, because I look around us and I see what we do as a body when we try to decide where the money's going. It's always a very, very hard decision. Where's the money going to go? But right now, we're the highest in this state in alcohol problems. We're the highest in the state in suicide problems. We're the highest in the nation, and of a lot of things. But we aren't doing anything about them. We're throwing money at some of the programs, not enough by any means, in treatment and things like that. But we aren't doing anything in prevention. And we cannot get a handle on the problems that we already have, and now we're going to do something that very well might cause another problem to pop up, and we can't even take care of the problems that we know we have right now. We're not doing it. We're not putting the money in the places. And for that reason, I just think it's not a wise decision for us to start looking at any time there's even the potential to have problems for other people in this state. We know that we have a lot of addictions in this state, and now we're just trying to help some more along, and I just don't.
really that's a lot of what we do in many of the programs we do in Alaska, to the tune of probably somewhere around, you add state and federal money together, it's probably somewhere around $1.6 or $7 billion. And it's true, we can't pick up all the pieces. And by the way, those problems are here now, even without the card room. So, but this is going to add to it, I think. I think you could show there's debate on either side of it. I guess where I come to this argument is the sea change that's going to happen in Alaska. It's probably one of the largest forward steps in gaming and gambling that we're going to make. I think that's probably where you're going to be debating. And whenever you make a sea change, in many ways, you may say it's just incremental and it's just a small step, and that's probably true. You put significant regulation on it. But once you set a sea change like this in motion, you set in order some consequences that go beyond your control, that probably are even debated, foreseeable, but consequences that really kind of go out of our control. And that is, you start a, right now we have illegitimate card rooms. How do I know? I've only heard that in history. So, and this will expand that. And then around this starts another industry, and it grows. And so my concern is the principle of what you kind of tolerate in moderation is going to come back to you kind of in excess. So I'm really concerned about that. So I'm going to oppose this bill. The other thing is that when you start getting money involved in the principle of gaming, whether it's pull tabs or card games such as this, and you start a profitable business because this talks about an economic benefit, certainly somebody's going to make a profit. But it's based not on the principle of production, but of chance. And that, to me, is a bad way to build a society. So I stand on the principle that we better produce our way in Alaska. We're a small group of people in Alaska. We're a large landmass, albeit chopped up by feds and states. But we're going to have to produce our way out of whatever economic trials we have to deal with. I don't think adding one more thing that draws on that is going to help. So what you have then is the competition in Alaska where we know we have to produce off of whatever assets we have. Here you have now an expansion of things, something that draws assets but never turns them back. And I know you talk about expanding it by bringing people in. I submit to you there are places in America that have much better advertising, much bigger draw, and probably nicer weather to go to than some of the places that we're going to be drawing on. To me, it's just a bad principle. First of all, I don't think it's going to generate anything by drawing them in, and I think it's going to consume those things that we're trying to produce here in the state. I think it's a bad principle to head off in. It's a big sea change for Alaska, and I would please encourage people not to go in this direction.
Other debate? Senator Robert?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Usually when I speak, I think it's safe to say that we are all saying to represent the people in our district. That's why it's representative of our district. That's why I support Amendment 3. Because it puts the issue
issue. I think there's an opportunity here to let your individual districts collectively within that boundary decide whether or not they want to implement, in this particular case, card rooms. And that's what a representative democracy is. It's for us to give the people the opportunity to vote, as we did back when we gave them the opportunity to vote on using the earnings of the permanent fund. Mr. Speaker, this never mind. Mr. Speaker, this is a safe environment in which card rooms will work within. The issue of law enforcement, I don't believe, is going to be a big factor. What we're, I think the originator of this idea was talking about was that he wanted to provide security for his patrons, and that security would come from off-duty officers. That would be the case. Mr. Speaker, this is Class 2 gaming. This is nothing more than Class 2 gaming as it applies to rat racing or the Ice Classic. In regards to the after-hour facilities, in my understanding, these are banked facilities. There are problems in those facilities with alcohol. There are problems in those facilities with perhaps drugs. In the open, in a regulated, a well-regulated environment, you're not going to have these kinds of situations. If I were participating in one of these after-hours facilities, I think personally I would be more inclined to get away from that element and into a more regulated structure. Mr. Speaker, we talk about the social ills. Again, I have not been able to find anything concretely, and if somebody knows an area, somebody knows where the material is that suggests that card game rooms only, not mixing it up with the general level of casinos, mixing it up with any additional types of gambling, creates any ill will, I'd be glad to take a look at that and consider it as we continue debating this bill as it moves through its course in the other body if it gets to that point. Mr. Speaker, we talk about the ills associated with various vices and how it leads to alcohol abuse, how it leads to drug abuse, and how it leads to suicide. I might remind the body that in many of these cases, the reasons for that are because there's nothing else to do in that location. So this may be another opportunity for those that may be into those kinds of things in a more deeper seated perspective to then move to another form of entertainment in which, well, remove their mindset, if you will, from the abuse of alcohol or the abuse of drugs or suicide. Because I think when you look at many of those issues, you'll find out the reason why folks have ventured into those arenas is because there's a lack of nothing else to do. Mr. Speaker, we can't control whether or not a person is going to spend every last penny at a card room instead of putting milk on the table. Children, I don't think the caliber of people in that particular setting are going to be frequently these particular card rooms. Mr. Speaker, it's about personal responsibility. We cannot control that behavior. So, Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, I appreciate the debate, the civil debate that's gone on in this chamber today as well as a couple of days ago, and I would urge that the members give it careful thought as they push the green button. Thank you.
Okay, you're ready for the question. The question is, so committee substitute for House Bill 272 Finance, amended in the House, passed the House under reconsideration. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the room. Does any member wish to change his or her vote?
22 yeas, 18 nays.
So the vote of 22 yeas and 18 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 272 Finance, has passed the House. Well, there's an effective date or not, I don't think there was there? Okay. All right, that brings us down to committee announcements. Any committee announcements? Okay. Any other announcements? Representative Foster?
Yes, sir. I've got the city of Nome has a Mother's Day brunch tomorrow. I just wanted to remind everybody to bring your family, your wife, your staff. Everybody in the building is cordially invited, 9:30 to 1:30 at the Baranoff. Thank you.
Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on HJR 16.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on HJR 16. HCR 16. Any other announcements? President Cott?
Mr. Speaker, just as a under announcements, as an update to our fine friends that are playing on the ice in New Jersey, the Anchorage Aces, after the second period, are leading 3-2.
Any other announcements? Representative McGuire?
May we move up the calendar one to committee announcements?
Objection. We're back up to committee announcements.
Thank you. Upon conferring with members of the Judiciary Committee, they're tired tonight, so we'll meet tomorrow at noon, and so definitely get over to the Nome Mother's Day breakfast early, and then be ready to work at noon.
Okay, back down to at committee announcements. Representative Meyer?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Continuing with committee and announcements. The finance members are tired also, but we're going to meet anyway as soon as we're done here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
As long as you're not retired. Representative Gruenberg, under committee announcements.
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease. House, come back to order. Do you have any other announcements? Representative Chenault.
Mr. Speaker, I guess I should go to special orders.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
But we will be. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For those who aren't having to go sit through a finance committee hearing, you might go to the chair's office and watch on the large screen TV the Aces game, which is now tied 3-3.
Uh-oh. Oh. Okay. Now we're under special orders, Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh. Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My missing colleague lent me his dictionary today, and I looked up the word predator. Not much wiggle room in it. I'd like to apologize to anybody whose feelings I might have hurt the other day. I apologize.
That was your. That was what your order was on?
The dictionary.
Apologize or the dictionary?
Dictionary.
All right.
And apologies.
Representative Curtula?
The topic is 37 years.
37 years. Objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, sometimes you get involved with something that's just a force of nature. And the last 6 days have sort of been that for me. I know I've been missing from the floor from time to time with my now very good friend from Haines. And it's been because we've been working on the bill that he co-sponsored. And he and the senator, member of the other body from my district, have managed in a mere 6 days to push the bill that we, all 40 of us, co-sponsored, House Bill 277. That's the bill that names the Gamble Spurl building here after the two young men from Juneau who died. One of them, his father's name's Walter. One of them, Donald, died 37 years tomorrow in Vietnam. So it's with a lot of joy that I say thank you to all of the people, all of you who helped, to the families who lost their two young sons, to General Campbell from the National Guard who said yes last minute to supporting us in this effort. And finally, I just want to say that I'm so glad this has happened so that I can quit crying every single day about this issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other special orders? Representative Capstner?
2 years ago yesterday.
2 years ago yesterday.
I just wanted to let all of you who were with me as a much larger version of myself know that yesterday was the two-year anniversary of the birth of my son, Matthew Vann.
Other special orders? Majority Leader. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. I haven't said anything, but it's on birthdays, two birthdays. Something I hadn't said, because they both occurred after we adjourned last year, and I don't think I've spoken much under special orders this year, but I'm going to. In mid-May, I had a grandson, Beckham Gruenberg, and And then in July, we had Kenneth Cooper, whom you met in the gallery. And that's probably the biggest event of my life.
Other special orders, Representative Stoltz.
On a sense of relief.
Sense of relief.
Mr. Speaker, I was here when the gentleman in front of me was the majority leader. He used to do half birthdays. He frightened me to no untold end that he was going to start that again. I'm so glad to congratulate him on those births.
All right, other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, before I make adjournment, I would move and ask unanimous consent that you hold over reconsideration of 107.
Reconsideration has, by the way, been held over on House Bill 107.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in adjournment until Sunday, 2 p.m., Sunday, May 8th.
Without objection, we'll be in adjournment until 2 p.m. tomorrow.